Transmission.
Hello, hello, hello. My name is Tobe, and this is the Dubious Goals Committee. You're listening to Anon Radio. It's shortly after 1930 UTC. And what are we going to talk about today? I don't know. Let's see what's on the agenda. SDF. That's right. Our favorite supercluster and monster squad, the Superdimensional Fortress. Oh, we all know it and we all love it, but there's one thing that's been bothering me recently. Ever since the switch to NetBSD or one of the upgrades, I'm not sure which, I can't seem to play Trek from anywhere. Except, I shouldn't have said it that way, and it doesn't make any sense. Here's the deal. I log in, if I secure shell log in into Otaku and then get, you know, bumped over to Pharaoh's, I can't play. But if I telnet in to sdf.org and whatever machine that puts me on, then I can play. And I find that to be annoying, but at least I can play because I haven't been able to play in over a month and I was starting to get angry. If I'm prevented from flying around in space and blowing up Klingons for too long, I start to get a little nuts. And so I spent a little time playing it today. I'm still not very good at it. I gotta play it on the easiest setting usually. And pew pew pew, go around and make the Federation safe for all Federation kind or whatever. I don't know political correctness for the Star Trek world. Next on the agenda, what did I do today? I went to eat at the Greek restaurant and I had souvlaki and it was yummy. And then I went to the dollar store and I bought a big mug. Actually, my girlfriend bought it because she needs a mug for drinking hot beverages. And the thing is huge. It must hold a liter. And what else did I buy? And there was something else. Oh, a candy cane. Had fun with that later. And then I went to the grocery store and I bought, well, my girlfriend needed Gatorade, so we bought a couple gallons of Gatorade. And I got some hamburger and I bought some yogurt and I bought some cookies. And I bought the cookies a couple nights ago. What did I buy today? Oh, I bought some maple syrup and I bought some other junk. I don't remember what I bought. Then I went home. And then I somehow hurt my knee. And wasn't my day thrilling? Yes, it was. Aren't you glad you got to hear about it? Yeah, I know you're not, but hey, at least it only took a minute. In Cold Blood. Aired today on TCM. And I watched part of it. I'm a big Truman Capote fan, but I'd rather read his books than watch movies based on his work. And that's not one of my favorites. I mean, it's good, don't get me wrong, but I like some of his weirder stuff. Not that most of his stuff isn't weird enough already, but you know what I'm talking about. Oh, I just remembered what else I bought at the store. I bought some tea because a couple nights ago I had a craving for a very specific type of tea and I almost couldn't find it in the store because they changed the packaging. The company that makes it changed the packaging to something different that I did not immediately recognize. So I actually had to like read words and stuff in English. Such a pain. But I did find it. I bought two boxes and I thought, oh, I better get some sugar too. And I went over to the sugar aisle and oh my goodness gracious. 4-pound bags of such and such brand of sugar were only 88 cents, and so I started scooping up armloads of them until I noticed that it said limit one per customer. Oh! Usually they have a limit of 4 or 5, but that's when the price is closer to $1.88. So still, 4 pounds of sugar for 88 cents, that's a pretty good deal. Yeehaw! It kind of makes me wonder how much I would have to buy in order to get that good of a price. What is that, like 22 cents a pound then? Jeez, I wonder if I bought like a pallet. You know, and this just reminds me of Doug. Did I ever tell you this story about Doug and the Diet Coke? Okay, here we go. Regular listeners to this show will recognize the name Doug. Doug is a very old friend of mine who is easily the most entertaining person I know, but that might only be for me. I don't know if you would find him as entertaining as I do. Doug is extraordinarily smart and funny in a very dry but straight way, and it's just hilarious. Anyway, back in the day, and this has been 10 years ago or more, considerably longer possibly, Doug used to drink Diet Coke. He does not drink it anymore. He's sort of, I don't want to say on a health kick, but he's optimizing himself for performance because he's very into running these days, and he runs marathons and all these crazy things. He does those weird races where you run up down hills and you jump over logs and stuff and all this stuff that I would have loved to do when I was 12, but unfortunately, I'm out of time. I'm out of my own frame of time. But anyway, so Doug used to like to drink Diet Coke, and he drank enough of it that he was always looking for a good deal on it. And so every once in a while, a specific grocery store chain here in town would offer a really good deal, like three cases for $4, or maybe it was three 12 packs for $4. It was super, super cheap, but they would always have a limit of three, one per customer per visit or something like that, or one deal per customer. So you could get like three cases or whatever it was, but that was it. And so, yeah, and you can kind of see where this is going. So when we would get bored then, or when there's these great sales, we'd, you know, wait until night shortly before the store closed, or just so that it wouldn't be crowded. And we'd pull in there, and then we'd go in, and he'd buy, you know, the maximum limit of Diet Coke, and I would buy the maximum limit. We'd take it out to the car, we'd put it in the car, and we'd walk back in. And, you know, we'd just keep doing this until anybody got wise, and nobody really cared. But this happened a lot, and so at one point in time, me and Doug were talking, he said something like, you know, it's kind of stupid. You know, it seems to me like if we just offer a large sum of money, I'm going to spend blank number of dollars on Diet Coke anyway. Why can't I just give it up front, give it to them up front and have them just give me the good price? And I thought, well, you know, why don't you call the distributor and see how much that would cost to buy like a pallet or whatever the minimum they will ship you. And I don't really remember where it went from that, although did a pallet of Diet Coke ever show up? You know, I'll have to ask Doug. I don't really remember. This has been a while ago. But we did spend, in my lifetime, I have probably spent 12 to 13 hours carrying cases of Diet Coke from, you know, a grocery store to a car. We would just make multiple trips. At one point in time, we thought, you know, if we have to, we'll just go to all the different stores in town. We'll just stop at each one, buy the maximum, and go to the next one, and we could just keep driving around. But no, nobody ever stopped us, although there was a couple of times when Doug tried to buy more than the limit and they wouldn't let him, and or he couldn't get the special price, because once you ring up that fourth case or whatever, then it rings up as regular price or whatever. So we were always scheming. And yes, Doug then did have cases upon cases and 12-pack upon 12-pack of Diet Coke stacked up in his house in various places. And I always wanted to make furniture out of it, but we never got that far. Those were the days. Like I said, Doug no longer drinks Diet Coke. Yeah, there's somebody probably got fired in the company because he was probably supporting at least one executive just by buying that stuff all the time. And that's how we bought 8 million cases of Diet Coke. I'm going to have to do this for this sugar deal. I'm going to have to get a couple of friends. I think my dad's got a minivan. I'll get my dad, get my mom, get my girlfriend, get a couple of friends. We'll all jump in the minivan and we'll drive to the store and each of us will buy 1 4-pound bag of sugar for 88 cents. Take it out to the car, then we'll all go back in. And that way I can get 1 million pounds of sugar for only 88 cents times 1 million divided by 4. Which is, I'm not going to do it because I'm not the mental math guy and I don't have a calculator handy. I'm sorry, but if you need to know, you can figure it out. You know, speaking of Doug and his old house, you know, we used to be in a band, and you hear our music sometimes on a non-radio, and we used to rehearse in his basement, and you know, we did a lot of other weird stuff in his basement, too. He had a safe down there, and there's fun stories about his safe. But anyway, whenever we were taking a break from rehearsing or whatever we were doing, reloading ammunition or whatever the weird crap, whatever we were doing, we'd go upstairs and we'd go outside on his back deck. And he had a small deck or porch back there. And his neighbor behind him had a dog. And it was some kind of sleek, fast-running type dog. It kind of looked like a greyhound or a Dalmatian or some combination thereof. But, you know, that kind of dog. A long, spindly, jumpy, runny dog. And This dog was pretty annoying, and it would wake Doug up very early in the morning and just generally be a nuisance. And so when we were bored and taking a break from rehearsal, this would usually be at night, and we'd go outside and we'd take one of our lasers with us and then and point it at the neighbor's house, the neighbor who owned this dog. And there was they got a dog, so they got bare patches in their lawn. So there's spots where it gets muddy. And so when it gets wet, it gets muddy. Dog goes through the wet spots, it gets muddy. And what we would do is we'd point the laser at the side of the house, pretty much up high, you know, like a good 10 feet or 3 meters above ground level. And this would drive the dog nuts. The dog would see it and then try to get the spot, and he would run up the wall in his muddy feet and leave footprints. And I swear to God, there would be dog footprints, you know, 3 meters up this wall. And we'd do this until we got bored and had to go back to work or whatever. But we've always sort of wondered, what could the owner of that dog have been thinking when he goes out and he sees this and there's dog footprints, you know, taller than his head? I always thought that was funny. Doug also had a safe in the basement of that house. When he moved into that house shortly thereafter, he decided he needed to buy a decent safe for safety and security reasons. And so he did, and it was huge. It was as big as a refrigerator. And I don't really remember how he managed to get it into this house. They dropped it off on his driveway, and I'm just glad I didn't have to help move that thing. And when he moved, I don't think he took it with him, but I'm not sure. Anyway, maybe he did. I don't know. Regardless, at one point in time, not too long after he got it, less than 2 years, for some reason it didn't want to open. And so he had to call the company and all this, and the rigmarole went down and blah, blah, blah. To make a long story short, then a locksmith comes out and he puts the magic machine on it, the brute force machine. And you know, you just take a couple of clamps and you clamp onto the safe and you have this little stepper motor or whatever hooked up to the spinny dial thingy of the safe. And then you just have a little computer that goes through all the possible combinations until that damn thing opens. And boy, was that entertaining for us, because, you know, this went down during the day and I was at work or something, but you know, after work I called him to see what was up. He's like, oh, you got to see this, you better come over. And so I went straight to his house and we sat there, and I swear to God, we watched this thing like it was a TV or a movie for about 45 minutes, then realized, hey, you want to get something to eat? Yeah. And we go out and get some food, eat, and then we come back and we watch the thing for another few hours, hoping, yeah, okay, any second now. But I wasn't there when it finally worked. The combination was found. Something happened. It slipped. It got out of tolerance. Something was wacky. But it was all figured out a couple days later. So, whew! After all, we had some of our master recordings in that safe. Yes, the master recordings. Oh boy. Oh, let's see, what else do I got here? Oh, not much, but wait, listen to this. You are listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm the chairman of the committee, and I'm also the president. The good news is we're about halfway through today's agenda. Yay! Not many more topics to get through here. So, if you're just now joining us, remember that you can always catch the first half of the agenda in the archive. But right now, I need to go get some more tea. So, you listen to this, and when we come back, I'll tell you something else I've been thinking about lately. This is Tobe. You're still listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. You know I'm the chairman. You love it. Everybody likes a committee about very dubious things, and boy, some of the things I do are dubious at best, and therefore can't be discussed right here on Anon Radio. Very interesting. You know, I'm sitting here, and I'm in front of my window, and I have it open, even though it's pretty cool outside. But I've got it open anyway, and there's a cool, cold breeze blowing in. I just heard something out there go, yelp, and it sounded like a raccoon. Raccoons will make funny yip-yap sounds when they're talking to each other, and there's been two that have been running around in my backyard for the last month or so. They're pretty funny, and they must be out there right now, so that's good to know. Which reminds me, I need to get some lumber. You might be asking yourself, well, Tobe, how can that possibly remind you that you need some lumber? Well, that, my friend, is what we call in the radio business a non sequitur. I need some lumber because I had this idea the other night. This is another idea for a game. Although this game already exists, there's a game that is generally known as Fletcher Pratt. And you can look it up, but it's a naval warfare game in which there are teams or single players playing against each other. And you have boats on the floor of a big room, and you pretend to shoot at each other and try to sink each other's boats. And it's long and convoluted, but it basically boils down to you're trying to guess the range. You're just trying to guess how far it is from your boat to their boat, and you got to guess pretty much exactly in order to get a hit, and so many hits sink the ship and blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking, all right, that's a fun game. But what if, and this is in response to, there's a lot of new lawn games. You know, back in the early days of leisure lawn play, you know, we had croquet and jarts, a trade name for lawn darts. And yes, lawn darts are awesome. And nowadays, people are playing a game called cornhole, a name that irritates me to say the least. And this is basically, let's throw beanbags and try to make them land in a hole. You know, apparently this is easier than throwing horseshoes. So this is popular enough, and I thought, okay, I want my own lawn game because that bores the hell out of me after a while. I'd rather just play horseshoes. But there's even other games like it, washers and all these new, it's like, no, not my style. So I was thinking, okay, how do you play Fletcher Pratt out in the lawn? Well, you need a bigger boat, that's for sure. So, you know, you can't use a 1/1200th scale little ship. You just lose it in the grass, then you'll accidentally step on it. You don't want that. So I was thinking, all right, here's what we'll do. I'll get like a 1x4, an 8-foot 1x4, and some other scrap lumber I have laying around, and I'll cut basic like waterline holes out of this 1x4, and then just put on some superstructure, put on some turrets with some guns, and then paint the whole thing gray, and now you have these battleships. And I'm thinking about, you know, making these about 1.5 or 2 feet long, call it 40 to 60 centimeters, less than a meter. You know, you want to be able to carry a couple of them. And so what you do then is you go out in the lawn, you and your buddy, and then these are big enough that you can see them from, you know, 20 meters away, or however far away you can get. And then you maneuver and shoot at each other, and boom, boom, bang, bang. That'll be fun. So I decided, yeah, I should do that. I've got a little bandsaw, so making stuff like that is pretty easy. I just need to go out and get some lumber, and maybe a couple of dowels, and something round for turrets. I could cut turrets, but I can't cut round very well. I'm unskilled. Although my gun turrets wouldn't have to be round. They could be Well, blocks with widgets. Yeah, that's what I'll do. That looks more like World War II type of boats anyway. Oh, yeah. Okay, I got all kinds of fun ideas. And, you know, you can put flags on them. You can paint them up, make them look cool if you want. So, that's a project for me over the winter. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, it is winter. To all my listeners in the Southern Hemisphere, have a nice spring and summer. But yeah, I'll have to make a couple of these boats, and then next time somebody wants to play cornhole, I can say no thank you, let's play Fletcher Pratt instead. This is super fun. Oh my goodness gracious, look what time it is, kids. It's time for me to get out of here. Today is supposed to be a barnacle day, so stay tuned after this show for the sound show starring DJ Barnacle, everybody's favorite DJ right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and you have been listening to the daily meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee, where we discuss playing strange games out in the lawn like Fletcher Pratt in lieu of having to play something as horrendously and grotesquely termed as cornhole. Ugh. Anyway, I'm gone. Bye, 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 bye.